Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello and good evening, and welcome to the Jeremiah Speaks broadcast. We're coming to you once again in tandem with the Fivefold Ministry. We are coming with the word from the Lord on this evening for anybody who would hear what the Lord has to say. We are coming to you from Luke, the 17th chapter, verses 1 through 4. Luke 17, verses 1 through 4, and with emphasis on the third chapter. Okay, so our contact information is goteachandbaptize@gmail.com. The email, once again, is goteachandbaptize, goteachandbaptize @gmail.com. And the telephone where you can reach us is 804-313-7853. Again, you can call, text. We prefer text, but you can call or text. Give us some feedback, and I did get some feedback just this afternoon about the broadcast. We are growing, and we're putting together a structure that we think can be effective, and so we'd love to hear from you. Just a word or two if you want to text or email. Love to hear from you. As always, I encourage you to get a pen or a paper and take a few notes, if you will. I'm trying to bring a word that is meaningful in somebody's life, a word that may even be life-changing. Again, I'm Gernard Reed. This is Jeremiah Speaks. We're glad to be with you on this evening. We turn to the New Testament book of St. Luke, the New Testament book of St. Luke, the 17th chapter, and I'm going to read two verses, verses 3 and 4. Luke 17, verses 3 and 4. 3 says, "Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespasses against thee 7 times in a day, 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him." This is the word of God for the people of God, even so saith the Spirit. Eternal God and our righteous King, we thank you for this wonderful opportunity to share and study your word. We pray, Father, that in this word we can learn things about you, to learn more about you, that we might be more like you, and then know your instructions that we may follow them. Lord, we give you honor and praise, thanking you for this word in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I've talked a few weeks stressing the concept of context. So looking at this particular scripture in context, I'm using, actually I put a title on this Bible study as Repentance and Forgiveness. Some people would say forgive or forget, or forgive and forget. If I forgive, do I have to forget? If I forgive, do I automatically forget? If I forgive in a spiritual sense, is the memory of it automatically taken away? So we attempt to address some of that this evening. In context, Luke chapter 17 was Jesus' last trip to Jerusalem. Here lately, I've been talking a lot about this, these stories, these parables that happened between the end of chapter 9 in Luke and the chapter 20 or chapter 21. These all happen as Jesus journeyed from Galilee to Jerusalem, to Judea for the last time. He was going under the auspice of attending the festival of the unleavened bread, the Feast of Unleavened Bread and the Passover, and which is what he did do. The travelers with him did not probably understand at all that he was never coming back to Galilee as a man. They didn't realize that he was making his final trip to Jerusalem, for in fact, many thought that he was going there to become a king, and that he would set Jerusalem straight and get things like they should have been. Imagine how excited they became when he came in with the triumphant entry, riding on a donkey with people throwing palm leaves in his way. Imagine how excited they must have been the next day when he went into Jerusalem and cleared the temple, because they thought Jesus was going to become a king. And he was going to receive a kingdom and become a king, but not in the fashion that they thought. So the context is, we're there. chapter 17 is right in the midst of that. He's on the road, taking his time. He started out in cold winter, and he's going to get there in mild spring. So he's working his way in, and he has some time alone, probably with the 12. He has some time alone with them, and they began to ask intimate questions about a tough subject, forgiveness. We have some very similar questions about a very similar tough subject, forgiveness. Forgiveness is not something that we master the minute we are baptized. It's not something that we master when we change, repent, and turn our lives over to God. Repentance and forgiveness take time. It takes a long time to change from the selfish individual that we came up as, who has now turned to accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. It takes a while to learn how to operate the way the Lord would have us operate. So here in context, this text, chapter 17, verses 1 through 4, really, are following a specific conversation that Jesus has had with his disciples and others regarding temptation and sin. Lord have mercy, I know that most of us have a real good idea of what temptation is. A temptation is being lured, coerced, coaxed into doing something that's definitely against the law of God. And oftentimes the temptation comes from down within inside of us. We know better, but we just like to do it. I just went through a situation where I ate something that I'm allergic to because it just looked so good. And I said, a little bit won't hurt me. And then I reacted to it. Well, that's the way temptation is. Sometimes we think this little sin is meaningless. It won't matter. Sometimes we think everybody else is doing it. So this is in the context of talking about temptation and sin. Then, in context, we look at Luke, the 17th chapter, verse 1. Then said he unto his disciples, again, probably to the 12 disciples, he said, it is impossible but that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the midst of the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones. So herein, in verse 2, are many Bible studies about the tempter, about the little ones or the babes in Christ, about death, and I call it death by soprano, versus other punishments, etc. Because look what he says, it's better that a millstone was cast about his neck and he was cast into the sea. That sounded like the kind of thing the mafia does, Tony Soprano would have done. That's pretty deep, but that's another Bible study. Verse 1, so when I went to my four Bibles, I said that whenever I'm preparing to teach or to preach, I go to my four translations. I always start with the King James. I began with the King James. Well, in verse 1, he says, woe to them for offenses will come. The King James calls them offenses. Another one I use is the New American Standard Bible, NASB. It doesn't say offenses. It says woe to them. Stumbling blocks will come. And the Revised Standard Version, the RSV, says temptations to sin will come. And then the New International Version, the NIV, says things that cause people to sin will surely come. They give four different descriptions of this sin, but at the end of the day, it's all the same. Jesus is saying, and it is kind of hard to follow that in the King James, but he says, offenses will come. Sins will come. Temptation to sin will come. Things that cause people to sin will come in our lives. They will come when we're new in Christ. They will come when we're on a new endeavor or a new elevation. That's when those things will surely come. The focus here is the one who brings the temptation, not the devil, but the person who brings the temptation. He says, woe unto him. That's when he says it would be better for one that offends one of these little ones, woe unto him. It would be better if a millstone were hanged about his neck and he was cast into the sea. That's pretty heavy. That's pretty deep. So, contextually, this dialogue in early Luke 17 is specifically about forgiveness of a person who coerces you or someone else to sin. Four, he causes an innocent person to consider sinning. Well, I remember I used to be a teenager a long time ago, and I remember what the pastor would say on Sundays, and I remember what the old deacons would say in the church about being a teenager. And they would say, you know, they got that stuff out there now, that wacky weed, that marijuana. And I was a child, and they said people will try to get you to smoke it. And they will tell you that, oh, it's all right because everybody's doing it. Does anybody remember that? That, oh, it's okay to smoke marijuana because everybody's doing it. Now, even more so now, but back then they would say, folk would get with you and say, you know, why you don't smoke? God made this. This grew from God's green earth. If God created this, why can't you smoke it? And they would try to coerce you into doing something that you believed was wrong. Well, I believe was wrong. And then with girls, I would hear my pastor say that a lot of guys would be slick and try to get intimate with girls and saying to the girl, well, do you like me? And the girls say, yeah, do you love me? And then the pastor said, they would say, well, if you love me, why don't you prove it? That is a tempter. That is a person trying to coerce someone else to leave their safe place and go sin with them. And so that's what he's talking about here, is he's talking about a person who would coerce you or me to sin. So now we go back to Luke 17:3, and I think I'm going to show somebody something here about forgiveness. Luke 17:3 says, take heed to yourself. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. These are, as I label it, the four steps of forgiveness. Four steps of forgiveness. I think all too often people try to jump from step one to step four, and then they end up hurting behind it. Forgiveness is something that we spend our whole lives learning to do with wisdom and character. Four steps of forgiveness. The first step is, there's a trespass. There's a sin against you. Somebody has sinned against you, as described here. The second step is the believer is to rebuke that sin. Whether it's an unbeliever they're talking to or a believer, we have an obligation to rebuke that sin. Step two is the main step that we often leave out when we're dealing with forgiveness issues. See, forgiveness can go wrong. You can forgive a person and then walk around in utter misery for years because of the way that they didn't handle your forgiveness. We can forgive people and still be angry with them. We can still be holding a grudge and then feel bad because we know that's wrong, but nonetheless, we feel that way. Well, here, take a look at this. There are four steps, not one. First is the trespass against you. That's the first thing that happens. Second thing that happens is, as Christians, we are obligated to rebuke the one that sins against us. Let me say that again. As Christians, we are obligated to put that person in their place where we know that they have willfully sinned against us. We need to put them in their place. The third step is, once we put them in their place, we expect them to repent. Repent means to turn away from the wickedness, to turn away from the sin, to turn away from whatever you just did, turn away from it, repent. And then the fourth step is not optional. If Jesus says here that if a person repents, when he repents, if he repents, we shall forgive him. Thou shalt forgive him. It's not optional. But here's the problem. All too often, well-meaning Christians want to forgive someone who has not repented. And then we are hurt sometimes all the way down in our soul because the way that person acted. No, we are hurting because we try to put the cart before the mule and forgive somebody when they have never repented. Even though he says seven times in a day, if that person sins against you, forgive them seven times in a day. Before that, he says, and if they repent seven times, then we are obligated to forgive them seven times. going a little deeper, using an example, I have a person that had just stole $10 from me, took it right out of my wallet when I wasn't paying attention. I know they stole my $10. My obligation as a Christian brother is to go to them and say, did you steal my money? Did you go in my wallet? I saw you. I know you stole my money. That's not of God. That's sinful. You're supposed to give them what for. As a Christian brother, they deserve that. You owe that to them. That's our obligation. I did steal your $10. I'm sorry. That is a form of repentance. That is a confession, a form of confession. But there's a better repentance than telling me that you just stole my $10 and you're sorry about it. Does anybody have any idea what the better form of repentance is? I do. Get my $10 back. You don't have to say one word. You can hang your head, give my $10 back. That is the best repentance that there is. Stop and think about it. When we sin, God wants us to repent. That means to change our way about regarding that circumstance. Immediately turn away from what we did. What better gesture to turn away from what we did than to give back what we stole, put back what we moved? I was at the swimming pool, and I was sitting up in the chair, chilling by the side of the pool, had my towel laying across my feet. And all around the swimming pool, they had been splashing. There's water all over the concrete. I hate walking in that stuff. I hate that. Anyhow, I'm sitting there, lying there in the chair, and this young man comes by running, like 6 or 7 years old. And he goes running by, and his leg caught my towel and knocked my towel down in that nasty water. And he stopped, looked back at me, and he said, "Oh, my bad, sir." And I looked at him. And I wasn't happy. He just got my towel wet. I wasn't happy, but I looked at him. I said, "No, sir, that's not okay." And he came back. He picked the towel up, and he spread it across my chair. And then he went on. That's repentance. Just saying, "My bad." That didn't get the towel up. Now I got to stop what I'm doing and get up and put the towel where it needs to be. I understand accidents happen. I understand it was your bad. It sure was. But repentance is to do what that young man did. He turned around, he came back, picked the towel up, and hung it across the chair so it could dry. No, that's repentance. So Jesus says, if he repents, then turn away. Now, I got to move on because it's short-lived here. But I've already touched the message. The message here is plain and simple. We have four steps. The first step is somebody has offended you. Somebody tried to take advantage of you. Somebody tried to take what you had. Somebody said something bad about you. Our job is to confront that, not to run somewhere and tell another person what they did. Our job is to confront that. Hey, our job is to confront that. So then the second step is our job is to rebuke them, put them in their place, let them know that I know that you know you just sinned against me, and it's not acceptable. Rebuke them. When we rebuke them, Jesus says, if they repent, automatically we forgive them. So now we got to know repentance, and they need to know repentance. They might just want to say, "My bad." No, you can't go and, what's that thing we say? You can't go scandalize my name, and then I confront you, and you just say, "Oh, my bad." No, you need to do something to turn away from that and fix that. And it might be more than "I'm sorry." But hold them responsible. When they repent, automatically we forgive them. We have no choice in that matter. Jesus says, if they repent, forgive them. He said, if they repent, thou shalt forgive him. And he says that if this happens seven times, he's being extreme here, this happens seven times in a day, seven times in that day shall you forgive them. If the brother sins against you, you rebuke them. They repent. Seven times in a day shall you repent. Every time they do that, that's our response until they get it right. Now, that sounds a little goofy, but stop and think about our own lives. How many things did we get right the first time? How many times did we mess up with God before we got a pretty good stride now, and we're confident in a lot of our walk in front of it. No, we messed up lots of times, often many times in one day. And when we turn and repent of our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us. I wish I had a witness that would say, ain't God all right? So now we've looked at the four steps there. That's key. What if we rebuke them and they don't repent? What if we put them in that place? We call out the sin for what it is. What if we are as tactful as we can be? We are smooth as we can be. We're as loving and kind as we can be, and we rebuke the sin. We call out the sin, and they don't repent. Then we don't forgive. Forgiveness is impossible in this scenario without repentance. You can go and tell them, I know you didn't mean to do it. I forgive you. And that might make us look like a big guy, and this great Christian and all of that hasn't done a thing except enabled them to do it again. Might not do it to you because you rebuked them and called them out. So they might say, well, I ain't going to steal his $10 anymore. Next time I want $10, I'll steal it from somebody else. We are looking for a formula where I can hold my brother accountable and responsible that he won't steal from anybody again. He will stop and think about this first. If we hastily forgive somebody, I know you didn't mean it. Go on and keep the $10. Don't allow them to repent because we're so busy about being the super Christian and being a nice guy and being popular and looking like we're pious and all this stuff. If that happens, we're actually helping them to continue sinning. So if a person steals from me, and I know they stole from me, and I don't say anything, I'm helping them to continue as a thief, to grow as a thief. If a person offends me, sins against me, and I rebuke them, and they choose not to repent, that's the end of that. That's the end of that until they choose to repent. So we get a shot at this thing, we need to be very clear about what the sin was. We can't bring up stuff from a year ago. We can't talk about, I never did like you, I never did trust you, all of that stuff. We need to be straight to the point like Jesus would have been. On this specific circumstance, that was a sin. We don't need to say you always, every time I look. No. Right now, we need to address what just happened and hold the brother or the sister responsible. I'm talking Bible. I'm talking word here. If they do not repent, we do not forgive because we cannot forgive a person who has not repented. Now, stop and look at ourselves. This is based on the standard model that Christ has given us, that when we sin against God. When we sin, God is expecting us to repent of our sins when we become aware of it. Sometimes it's other people around us. Sometimes it's the word of God. That's Yom Kippur is coming up in a week from now. And I've seen that some people in the Jewish community have already started this, naming the sins that they've committed against people. Somebody put on Facebook yesterday, any of my friends on Facebook, if I've done anything to hurt your feelings, anything that you deem to be inappropriate regarding you, please accept my apology now. Well, that's a period of cleansing and a day of atonement is coming, and that's the way they approach that. I'm not sure that I agree with that method, but I'm not mad at them about it either. But God is looking at us and saying, you knew you sinned. I have my word that pointed it out. I have my soldiers in the field that had pointed it out. You knew when you did it. You looked around before you did it to see if anybody's watching. I'm waiting for you to come back and repent. I'm not necessarily waiting for words. Sometimes I'm waiting for a change in your behavior. A change in your behavior means I've repented of that which I've done. And then God is faithful and just to forgive us. In other words, God says he doesn't look at his options on that. He simply says, if we repent of our sins, forgiveness is there. It's automatic is coming. So if that's the way God operates, he expects us to operate very similar to that. So I wrap this up this evening by reminding what Jesus said. Take heed to yourselves. If the brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day he repents, say, and he turns to thee saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. You want to feel good in spite of the way other people treat you? Follow this system right here. You want to not go around depressed years later because you kept it on the inside while you said the words, I forgive you, but I didn't forget you. And I'm still thinking about, I can't believe you did what you did. No, that's not Jesus' system. Go back and take a look at Jesus' system. Jesus' system does not include grudges. Jesus' system does not include internalizing it and allowing it to eat you up while you look like you're just a happy Christian on the outside. He didn't cause us to be living in our facade and phony. Jesus called us to be like he is. Work through that situation. Didn't like it at the time. Didn't feel good at the time. I don't want to confront this brother. But my God shall supply all of my needs, and therefore I must confront the brother because he sinned against me. And if I don't confront him, he'll sin against even more people. He'll think it's all right. He'll think he got away with it. He'll forget that we have an omnipresent God that saw his every move. And he'll forget, or he may not even be saved. And he'll miss his opportunity of salvation because I didn't step in and confront him when he committed that small sin. So I say unto you, I've heard this time and again, if somebody does such and such for me, would you forgive him? If not, that's not the question. The question is, will we be obedient to Christ in this situation? Obedience to Christ is rebuke him. Once he repents, forgive him. If he chooses not to repent, keep on moving. That's on him. I can't forgive a person who has not changed. This is the word of God to the people of God, even so saith the Spirit. We'd be glad to hear your comments, your thoughts, your questions on this subject or even on other subjects. Again, we're at goteachandbaptize@gmail.com, 804-313-7853. We're just glad to bring this to you. We are Jeremiah Speaks program, 7 o'clock Monday through Fridays, 7 until 7:30. We entertaining your questions. We have some good preaching coming on. We have Bible study coming on. We're trying to present a gospel the way Jesus would have us to present it and occupy until he comes. Until we meet again, this has been the Jeremiah Speaks broadcast. Please stay tuned for the fivefold ministry with Apostle Margie Mercer.
God bless you, and welcome in to the Fivefold Ministry Broadcast. I'm your host, Apostle Margie Mercer. And if you would like to get in touch with us, our email address is ffmw.inc@verizon.net. Again, it's ffmw.inc@verizon.net. Each week you can hear us on this radio station, and we want to encourage you, to exhort you, to sit back and relax and enjoy going into the inner courts and just fellowship and to worship our God. This is also our disclaimer that as we get started in our broadcast, that the music that you will hear belong to the artist, that this is for promotional reasons only, and we come to inspire you through their music because they have the rights, and that we encourage those sales so that you can just sit back and hear the songs that God has given them to sing. Again, you're listening to the Fivefold Ministry Broadcast. God bless you. Yesterday we played a special selection of songs. We wanted to remember our loved ones who have gone on. You know, when you have the love of God in your heart, that you can remember all of those special times that you had with your family, your mother, your father, sister, brother, friends, and those that you have met along the way, that truly that they are a blessing in our lives. We want to encourage all the listeners, as we talk about love, we also mention about forgiveness. Don't you know that forgiveness is a part of that love? So we want you to just sit back and enjoy that fellowship. This is a repeat of yesterday. We had a special program where we wanted to remember our loved ones. And I had a lot of responses from it that truly they enjoyed the music as well as to reminisce those special ones in their life. You know, when you look at Scripture, Scripture tells us even in Psalms 29:11, that love prospers when a fault or a wrong is forgiven, but dwelling on it separates close friends, family, and loved ones. You know, it's very important that you let go of what you feel about what was wrong or what didn't go right with the persons that you met along the way. But through the love of God's grace, we have the strength and the power to forgive. So I just want to encourage you, as we sit back, think about those that have covered you, those that have been a blessing in your life. Think about those good times. You know, and as I said, you know, especially with little children or even our grandmoms and our parents, that they were those who taught us on our journey to go forward. And we want to salute them, as I did yesterday, that we just want to say we love you and we thank them. We thank God for the sacrifices that he have put in their heart, that mercy seat to guide us along our journey, and for us to say we love you, we love the Father for putting those in our lives. Let us sit back now as we think about those loved ones, as we listen to Wings, as we listen to That You Raise Me Up by Kenny G, and all of those who have raised us up to be positive and to go forward in God. God bless you. You're listening to the Fivefold Ministry broadcast. So many songs that you could think about that with your mom or your dad or different loved ones, that it is so nice when you can forgive the negativity that you felt from others and just remember those good times, because truly my mom and dad and even my grandparents, they were the wind that I was beneath their wings. They covered me in that good time and bad, you know, just as our Lord and our Savior has done for us. When he died on the cross, that blood covered us so we can be in a rightful place with God and that we can have eternal life. So we just want to just remember the positive and not the negative. You know, Luke 23:24 tells us that any act or ill that has been done can be forgiven. I'll say it again, that any wrong that has happened in your life that you should forgive. Even Jesus died on a cross, and he looked up to heaven and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Anytime in the suffering of Christ that he asked for, that God will forgive those who have harmed him, we too should be that same type of person so that we can exemplify Christ that's inside of us, that Holy Spirit that's inside of us, the salvation that we claim that we are, the children of God. So let us think about the positive and the time that you sat around that table with mom and dad and just those. I remember just sitting there with my grandma, putting my head in her lap, that truly they were my heroes and they were the wind and they covered me. God bless you again as we listen to Gladys Knight sing Wind Beneath My Wings. Amen. God bless you. Take for granted what people have sacrificed for us. You know, so many times that we see parents work and they save money and push the kids to school and to college, they put themselves in the background so that their children can excel and move in the forefront. You know, it is so very important that when you can make that type of sacrifice, you know, this is what Jesus instructs his followers to forgive and to be obedient and be grateful. Be grateful to God for the love and the sacrifice that God has done for us. Yes, he has sent his son who have suffered, but that perfect love to die for us, to restore us in our relationship. So many times that our family has restored us, has kept us, and made us feel that we were loved. I thought about yesterday that, you know, so many times that I was with my mom and my dad, and all of those good times that we had, that truly, truly, it was just a blessing to have them in my lives, I'm sure, as well as in yours. And Luther Vandross sings this very special song with Dance with My Father, which reminds me of those times that I had with my parents. I hope that remind you, too, in that quiet moment of meditation, the feelings of love that you had for loved ones, maybe who have gone on and to be with the Lord. But we have a chance now that we too can exemplify that strength and that character for those who have been there for us. God bless you. You're listening to the Fivefold Ministry Broadcast. Amen. Yes, it is so beautiful that when we have memories of loved ones, that if we had a chance just to tell them that we love them, or if we have done anything to say that we are sorry, that maybe we did not understand. You know, I remember even as growing up that I would hear people say, but you don't know, you don't understand what I'm going through. But you know that God knows, and he wants you to be encouraged. And that it is not over. You know why? Because those better days are coming in your life, and that they have overcome all that negativity. If you could just let go and let God, let those things out of your life that's not important, and think about those good times with those loved ones. So we like to dedicate this show of this, you know, praise and worship for those who have meant a lot to us, that through their encouragement and words, because my mom would always say, better days is coming, and truly, I have been blessed and been encouraged to go on, that God can do anything but fail. And I would like to play Leandra Johnson, Better Days Are Ahead. Amen. Better days. God bless you. The songwriter said is to stay focused and don't lose sight. Don't lose sight of the love that you are to show to one another. Don't lose sight that we are to forgive others as God has forgiven us. You know, we could have made it with some of those persons in our life, especially when we know that even in our own strength, that we couldn't do it. It was only through the love and grace of God and his mercy that he put people in our lives. Sure, there could have been some negative things, but you got to think about those positive things that made a difference, the words of encouragement, the words that people have said to you in your weakest hour. You know, I remember as a child that I would lay there and I was like, how am I going to make it if my mom and dad is not there? How am I going to do this thing? And I remember my mother gave me that blueprint for living. She gave me that little testament, the little red testament that she had, the little Bible that she said, read this and God will sustain you. He will keep you. Oh, hallelujah. And then I remember as I got older and I got saved and I got baptized and I confessed that Jesus Christ is Lord in my life, that I would have never, ever made it at all. So I thank God for those people in my life who had pointed me in the directions of God, of Christ. And this is what we want to say to you this evening, that let your positive override the negative, oh, hallelujah, and be grateful even for those times that maybe was not, that you felt was in your best interest. Because you know why? that gave you the strength and character that you would have never have made it. So let us listen to Marvin Sepp at this time, who sings that very song. God bless you.
I would have lost it all, but now I see how you were there for me, and I can say never would have made it, never could have made it without you. I would have lost it all, but now I'm stronger, I'm wiser, I'm better, much better. When I look back over all you brought me through, I can see that you were the one I held on to, and I never would have made it. Oh, I never could have made it.
Yes, we made it through our storms and our tests. One of the things that I heard a preacher say is that when we can forgive, that we should forget and let go. We can't let those things stay in our lives that will weigh us down. We have to focus on things that are important, be grateful for those things that have brought us through, and to know that God can do anything but fail. Just be grateful for those persons that was in your life, those loved ones. Just be grateful that you're in the land of the living. I am sure that you remember Mama, your dad, your grandparents, your sister, your brother, those loved ones. And even as we hear on the news that so many people are going through things that is such overwhelming, but yet we have to pray them through, and we ourselves are to continuously be grateful, because only through being grateful can we understand the love and the mercy that God is showing us, because it could have been us. You know, so many times you look at other people that's out there struggling, and you have to be reminded that if it wasn't for those persons in your life, if it wasn't for the death, burial, resurrection, if it wasn't for the word of God, hey, hallelujah, and the mercy of God in the very beginning of creation, where would we be? We must continuously be grateful and to love the Lord for all the things that he's done in our lives. And even being on this radio station, I am grateful to Archbishop for the opportunity to minister to others, to know that it was only through the blood of Christ, only through his redemptive blood was I able to make it this far. So I'm grateful for this opportunity for all of you to listen to us each week on this radio station, Monday through Fridays. Just come in and join us. Let us abase in fellowship with God together and hear that good preach word of all those ministers who have came on the air as Reverend Reed and the other young men that come in and rightly divide the word of truth. And don't forget to listen to us on Sunday mornings. Right now I want to listen to the Love Fellowship Choir and to say that we are so grateful. God bless you. Amen. Grateful for all the love that those persons have shown in our lives, that we can overlook all those things that we feel may not have been in our best interest. As we close out the night, remember that one of the things that tie in with love is forgiveness. I'll say it again, that in order for us to be like Christ, in order for us to walk upright, that we got to love others the way we love ourselves, to treat others the way that we want to be treated, to exalt, edify, and encourage each other in the body of Christ. Forgive those that have spitefully misused you and show them love and forgiveness. God bless you. Until tomorrow night, amen. Bye-bye.